Welcome to the Emotionally Healthy Leader Podcast. My name is Rich Velotis. I'm the lead pastor at New Life Fellowship Church here in Queens, New York City. And I'm here with Pete Scazzaro. Pete is the founder of New Life Fellowship Church, as well as the founder of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Today, we're talking about emotional health, emotionally healthy spirituality, as it pertains to conflict resolution. And I imagine in many churches, Pete, that there's a lot of conflict. What's interesting, people have, they look to New Life and they say, oh, you're the emotionally healthy church. And many times what they think or what they say by that is, you don't have any issues. And that couldn't be further from the truth. To be an emotionally healthy church does not mean that we don't have issues and conflict. It means there's a particular way that we are approaching issues and conflict. And so we're going to talk about what we've learned over the years. So, Pete, can you normalize for the person who's watching this here the reality of conflict in a church context?
Listen, I mean, I don't like conflict, and I didn't deal with conflict in my early years. Rich, you didn't deal with conflict in your family of origin either. So I'd say 95% of the leaders I meet did not do conflict well in their family of origin. You ask a group of people, how many folks were mentored by your parents on how to negotiate differences well in a mature way? I mean, hardly anybody will raise their hand. So I know in the early years, I swept it under the rug. I hoped it would go away by itself, it would get resolved. And I kind of got pulled into learning how to resolve conflicts in a mature way, kicking and screaming, because things don't go away, they just get worse. And I had a wife who quit. So, you know, God had my attention. And so it's been a very long, slow process to come out of my family of origin and then as a leader, learn to use my power well to deal with conflicts in a healthy way that brings life. But there is, every church is filled with conflict. We have it at New Life Fellowship. But there's conflict, which is clean pain, and there's conflict which leads to dirty pain, which means, dirty pain means there's no redemptive gift that comes out of it. It's just a mess. Mm-hmm. I think we have clean pain at New Life, but we understand that this is a key part of a healthy church is the way we deal with conflict, and as quickly as possible and thoughtfully and prayerfully.
One of the images that you use in the Emotionally Healthy Leader book is the image of the elephant. Yeah. And in terms of healthy culture, team building, conflict, that elephants in the room are addressed. So just take us through what we talked about in our staff meeting today is there are different size elephants as well.
That's good.
So there's like big elephants, and then there's like these baby elephants that have the potential to really grow. Yeah. What have you learned about these big elephants and these little elephants as it pertains to just conflict? Or another question is about little elephants becoming big elephants. Before that, what have you learned?
Well, as you said well today, all little elephants become big elephants eventually. They don't go away. And that I see little elephants or the tensions or conflicts as discipleship, spiritual formation opportunities. And it's my best opportunity to bring leadership to create culture. And so I don't see them as, oh, I'm moving in this direction. We got services to prepare for Sunday. You know, launch out, and oh, this person's being a pain in the neck in a meeting, disagreeing with me disrespectfully. Dang, I wish this person wasn't there because I just got to get this job done for Sunday. That's no longer, I think, the way we approach it at New Life. I think we say, no, this is part of the process, and this is an opportunity for discipleship in this person's life. Now, the problem is they're disrespectful maybe in a meeting towards me, but now I've got a process. How am I going to deal with this? I got to prepare myself and the conversation. It's just a lot of work. Mm. And so this takes time, and part of the reason we call it emotionally healthy culture is because it takes time to be thoughtful and prayerful and reflective about what's going on in the inside to be able to approach people in a way that's respectful and not shaming.
So in order to get to that place, it seems a couple of things are needed. One, a deep spirituality for it, to do it in a healthy, Jesus-honoring kind of way, and then just practical skills. So let's just talk about the spirituality. What kind of spirituality is required to resolve conflicts in a healthy way? And then we'll talk about a skill that for whoever's watching, can they begin to implement. So spirituality, what kind of spirituality is needed?
You know, it's so interesting you say that, because I think of in the early years when I was avoiding conflict, and the early years of New Life Fellowship, the first, you know, 8-9 years in particular, I had a quote spirituality. I was praying, I was fasting every week. I was like super, I was in prayer meetings 3 times a week. Oh my God, I was in the Word of God, memorizing books of scripture in the varsity staff, but I still wasn't dealing with conflict. It's so funny, isn't it? So I think it's a spirituality that intersects emotional health. It's an emotionally healthy spirituality, which means that I recognize that I can't separate my spiritual maturity and my emotional maturity. So, for example, I was so unaware of my genogram, my family of origin, and how it impacted me. I didn't do feelings. I mean, I was just, and I mis-exegeted so many passages because of my family of origin. Everything from what it meant to be a peacemaker meant I just like covered over everything. And I was such a nice guy and keeping the peace. And that's not what a peacemaker is in scripture. You know, Jesus disrupts false peace, I was lying a lot. I mean, so it was interesting that I was so unaware of the integration of emotional health and spirituality, that my spirituality was inhuman. It was very narrow and incomplete. And that's why I think the biblical integration of some of these emotional health things, like grieving and loss and anger and psalms and, you know, going back to go forward, these are so foundational.
Yeah.
Not just for ourselves, but then we know we're dealing with someone who's coming from a family and a history going back 3 to 4 generations. And so we're going into a much more holistic. Mm-hmm. Loving is the core of maturity. Mm-hmm. I'm not using my authority in a nasty way. Like, you know, you're being rebellious, an Absalom spirit. I could feel it, you know, and, you know, oh my God, who's Jezebel? Who's Absalom? And prophetic words flying around. And that really confused conflict when the prophetic, I mean, I believe in the prophetic, as you know, we believe in the prophetic at New Life, but we just couldn't sort out what the Holy Spirit was saying. And, oh, it's probably my stuff. I'm being a Saul or David. And it was just so confusing. So I just had such an allergic reaction because my spirituality was very confused. I think a lot of our spirituality is confused.
Talk about a spirituality of just identity, love of God as it pertains to conflict.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Here I was, my spirituality for the first 17 years was deep in scripture and prayer and all that. You know, very charismatic, the Holy Spirit, worship. But I really did care what people thought of me. Mm. I mean, at some reason, when it came to I could preach, you know, memorize your identity in Christ. I'm a saint in Jesus. I'm raised with Christ and I'm resurrected. And I would say it to identify, you know, my identity in Christ. But the truth is, because I was so unaware of, again, back to my history, my emotional side of who I was, the truth is, Rich, I wanted your validation. Mm-hmm. I would do things to get you to like me. I wouldn't say hard things because you might not like me. And so I was, again, I wasn't being truthful. Mm-hmm. And so it's really sad that it was so, you know, again, so divided, you know, my spiritual. So my identity, I said, was in the love of God, but it really wasn't in the love of God. My identity was more in what you thought of me. It was a mix. Mm-hmm. I think a deep spirituality that's genuine before God is actually free.
Yeah.
So I can actually, maybe I'm going to address something with you. And I recognize I can't control the outcome. Mm-hmm. But again, in leadership, I trust that I'm bringing it with good motive, and sometimes things just don't go down well, right? But it's not the end of the world for me, because I'm getting my love from Jesus first. Now, it's painful, but I'm anchored enough that God's asked me to be a shepherd of his sheep. I love the sheep, and that I'm going to lovingly address difficult issues and conflicts for the sake of them, the gospel, the glory of Christ. And I don't always know where it's going to go.
So that's a deep spirituality. But in addition to just the deep spirituality, we really need some practical handles. We need some skills. And you have written a curriculum called Emotionally Healthy Skills. It's being renamed Emotionally Healthy Relationships, which I think is really appropriate. And one of the skills to resolve conflict is clean fighting as opposed to dirty fighting. And some of the dirty fighting tactics you have here: silent treatment, lecturing, blaming, threatening gestures, criticizing, sarcasm, complaining, denying. There's a whole list of dirty fighting tactics that we're just good at. We don't have to learn dirty fighting. It just comes with us with the fall here. But clean fighting takes time to learn. And there's a particular skill, clean fighting here, that comes out of emotionally healthy skills here, that I want you just to take us through. Someone's watching this, I'm sure there's a conflict they have to address. And there is, in this skill, there's 8 steps here. It's supposed to be done very thoughtfully and prayerfully, but there's 4 that I want to focus on here. So I just want to, I'm going to say these sentence stems, and I just want you to unpack it. So the first step to a clean fight, to resolve conflict, is to ask for permission, stating the problem, and the sentence stem is, I notice.
Yep. So it's funny, I'm looking at you, I'm realizing when you first came on staff, if you remember, you had a conflict with Peter Rodin that we did at one of the Emotionally Healthy Leadership Conferences. And that was great. But you modeled it for the whole, pastor's conference. But you also were conflict averse. Mm-hmm. I remember that now. So anyway, So you asked for permission. And yesterday you asked for permission with the person. Because we like to say at New Life that we don't do dirty fighting in the new family of Jesus, that we learn to fight cleanly or negotiate differences in a clean way in the new family of Jesus. So we're learning to do it differently. So the first step is you ask permission. Can we engage now in a clean fight? So you want to make sure there's space for it, mm-hmm. They're present. You're not doing it in the hallway on your way to a meeting. And then you just simply state, I noticed that, we'll take your example, that when I was preaching, that the PowerPoint didn't work on Good Friday. Mm-hmm. It was very specific. You're not getting into, I noticed that your attitude is bad a lot in meetings. It's very vague. I noticed that you're distant. You're kind of acting arrogantly. I mean, it's very specific,
very specific,
very clear.
And so after you address what the problem is, I notice, the next step is you state why it's important to you. Yep. And that sentence then is, I value. In my case, to give context, I was preaching on a Good Friday service. I worked really hard on a PowerPoint, and I use images to complement my preaching, helps people remember things, and I value that. I value people not forgetting my sermons, that they walk away remembering. And Peter, who was our worship pastor at the time, was over the audio booth, PowerPoint and everything, and the person who was there was not equipped to do PowerPoint. The first service, they messed up the PowerPoint. Thankfully, we have 2 services, so I thought, this is going to be great. Next service, we'll get them. I worked really hard on this PowerPoint. The second service, I get up to preach, and the PowerPoint didn't work again. And it was very interesting because it was Good Friday. There was a cross, like in the center of our sanctuary. And internally, I'm thinking, somebody's going to get crucified today, somebody besides Jesus, but I had to come back and say, I value that when I preach, people remember and images are really important. So I noticed, and then the second thing is I value. Why is it just important to just mention what I value?
Because for someone else that was preaching, maybe they wouldn't care. Another preacher who had the PowerPoint prepared and it didn't work maybe would say, it really didn't matter because my words were enough. Mm-hmm. And so we get to be, each of us are unique. Mm-hmm. And so I may get triggered by something or something may bother me that's not going to trigger you. Mm-hmm. And that's normal, but it doesn't make you bad for saying, no, this is important, this is a value for me. Mm-hmm. And you're not saying that they are bad either, mm-hmm. but you're letting them know this is a value for me. And so it's not really a judgment on them at all. It's about you.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of that.
The third is, the sentence stem is, when you ... I feel.
How did you fill that out with him? What did you say to him? When you...
This is almost 10 years ago, but I think it was when you, something along the lines of when you put someone who's not prepared or not adequately trained, I feel, it was probably angry because I'm like, I'm placed in a position, I forgot what I said.
Unloved,
I probably was disrespected. I think it was angry, which was very hard for me to say. For me to just say, angry nowadays.
Yeah. And Peter was older than you. Peter's
older
about
than
15
me,
years
been in our
you.
Church much longer than I yeah. was. But to say, when I feel angry, why is it important for that feeling part to come out?
Because it's not just fat. We're not computers. We're sharing what's going on inside of us. You know, when you asked everybody a question at the meeting, but you didn't ask me, I felt wounded. I felt hurt. I felt invisible. So you're giving a person a window into your own soul. We like to say, if you're going to use anger, you want to get to the feelings beneath the anger, sadness, fear, which usually anger is like the kind of secondary emotion. And we try to help people. When you find yourself angry, you want to ask yourself, what might be behind that anger? What might I be sad about? What might I be afraid of? And bring those are more vulnerable, soft emotions. We can connect in vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Very hard to connect in anger.
Yeah.
So the nice thing about when you do this, I feel, is very powerful to kind of level the playing field. And again, we're trying to have a respectful, mature, adult conversation.
Yeah.
And we're trying to love well in the new family of Jesus.
Yeah. And fourth, and then there's 8 steps here, but we're just going to touch on the top 4. You say, state your request clearly, respectfully, and specifically, which in my context was what I said to Peter, who was, whenever I preach, whoever is leading the PowerPoint area there, that they're well-trained and equipped to do the job. And that was it.
Very specific.
Very so not vague. It's very easy to get pretty vague when you're resolving conflict, but the specificity is really important.
You said, when I preach, I want to make sure the person is well-prepared. What does that mean? Just you were specific. Let me ask you a question. What was his response? Because I don't remember.
Yeah, Peter's response was he was saddened that he was like the person who's over that department, and that happened on such an important day like Good Friday. And very open to and I wasn't the lead pastor at the time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was pulling a power card, like, Peter, I'm the lead pastor. This should happen. I was an assistant pastor at the time. Peter and I, he didn't report to me, but I didn't report to him. But it was this level thing there. But he was more than happy to say, I'm going to fix this situation. My question for you, Pete, in closing is, how do you, it was a great story. It happened. Yeah. We resolved it. But what happens to the person when they want to address, they have an issue, a conflict, and they're going to say some of these words, but the person who's listening might not be as receptive. What do you do then?
Again, there's so many nuances to this. Is this person your boss? You know, are they your employee? They may just be a friend. So I think that's all. I got to just say that preference-wise. A lot of it depends on what's the context of the conflict. But if they're not open, for my own integrity, I'm still going to talk to them. Mm. I need to talk to them. Now, I may talk to them differently. Mm-hmm. But I am going to say something for my own integrity, especially if it's a significant... but I'm going to be very careful how I say it. And I think, again, you may have to practice in the clean fight. These skills took us 16 years to polish and figure out over thousands of times of just doing it in different contexts. And the stems are meant to help you get clear. And you don't just get it real quick. Boom, boom, boom. It takes time to think this through well. And you probably, if you're highly triggered and that's and a person's not very defensive, you probably want to get with a peer or a mentor to help you get all your blaming and anger out so it comes out softly and well. But it's a high skill. I mean, it's the last of the 8 skills because all the other ones build on it because it is a high level to do it well. And remember, very few people have experiences of doing it well or even having been approached. I mean, we're in the body of Christ, we do it no differently than the world does it. So we're talking about a significant skill that we as leaders need to really work on.
Yeah.
Then we got to really see this as part of our discipling. We can't preach this from the pulpit that they're going to change. This has to be modeled and worked into people slowly over time. Mm. And we got to help them go through steps.
Yeah.
It may seem laborious, but it has very rich long-term fruit.
Yeah. So for more information on this skill and many other skills that address issues like conflict, you can go on our website, emotionallyhealthy.org, and there is just... tons of resources available to build emotionally healthy cultures.
And by the time this comes out, I'm assuming that the Emotionally Healthy Leadership Conference videos will be available.
And I would get them because you'll see one of the sessions is called Differentiation, Climb the Ladder of Integrity. And you'll see it's not quite, it's a conflict, but the way it's dealt with is so brilliant. Yeah. And I would recommend you take a look at that and see an example of how this works out in a church leadership context.
So that's emotionallyhealthy.org. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.